What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. It is Tuesday, May 23rd. I'm Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Greece underscore, at Cageside Greece on social media. And as always, my friend, I am here with all the news. I am here with all the notes. I am here with all the hot topics, and I am here with all my hot takes that you need to be the smartest fan in the room when you're talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts. And if that room happens to be a sports book, we got your back with the fight stack. Full fight previews, odds breakdowns of every main card fight on every UFC fight card. And I'll tell you what, no fights this week, but we will be there next week with the fight stack. And of course, fight week coming up in a big summer ahead for the UFC. As we move on into your headlines on this Tuesday, it's Greece, it's Full Press MMA. Let's roll. No UFC fights this week, but plenty of headlines anyway. And thank God for the fighters going back and forth on social media, comments, talking crap, things like that. Fight news, maybe a little bit. Numbers coming out from the UFC profit-wise that will absolutely blow your mind. We're going to get to those in just a minute. And first, I am going to start with Don Davis, the PFL founder, responding to Dana White's rant about the PFL business model. And if you missed it after fight night on Saturday when Mackenzie Dern beat Angela Hill in Vegas, Dana's not usually there for fight nights like that one. He wanted to meet with the media afterwards, had a lot to say about a lot of things, Aljamain Sterling, Francis Ngannou, and especially the PFL. And talking about the PFL, he said, you're hemorrhaging cash, basically I'm paraphrasing, you're hemorrhaging cash, you're not selling tickets, you're doing no ratings, and you're going to raise $280 million to buy Bellator, which is also hemorrhaging cash, not selling tickets, and not doing any ratings. What kind of business model is that, right? Well, Don Davis, the founder of the PFL, had a response, and his response on Instagram was, quote, Netflix is not even on our radar screen in terms of competition. Blockbuster CEO 2008. Then the next one, what PFL is doing makes no sense to me. UFC President 2023. And he did not mention Dana White by name, Don Davis, but with what he's been smoking, apparently, to say things like that, who cares what he mentioned? I mean, I could do all sorts of things. I could go all sorts of places with this right now, but I just have to say, Don Davis is doing what he thinks he should do, right? And Francis Ngannou rides the bus. I've been saying it all week. He took 10 steps down, not one, 10 steps down going from the UFC to the PFL. And I'm not kidding when I say at least I might be underestimating the number of steps he took down in terms of the level of competition, in terms of the level of recognition, in terms of the level of exposure and all the things that go along with it. Again, I love Francis. I love him as a human. I love talking to him. I love what he did in terms of looking out for the other fighters, PFL Africa. I love all these things. I love everything PFL's doing, right? But the Jake Paul, Kayla Harrison, Francis Ngannou business model is not going to work. They're not the UFC. They're never going to be the UFC. They're never going to be close to the UFC. And Dana White's right. Why are they doing what they're doing? Well, that's up to them, and I hope it works out for them in the long run, but there is no way that Dana White is not speaking the truth there, right? There's no way that he is not speaking the truth. So when you look at the report that just came out, which is part two of this story, Bloody Elbow's John S. Nash saying the UFC had record profits last year, and this is public record, right? But their fighters only took home 13% of the organization's revenue. That speaks to why they could tell Francis Ngannou to hit the bricks if he didn't like it. And they did tell him to hit the bricks if he didn't like it. Let's make no mistake about it. If the UFC had come close to giving Francis what he wanted, he'd still be there. No one leaves the NFL to go to the XFL for no reason, right? There's a good reason. And that reason is they told him, take a hike with that shit. What he's asking for. So 13% share for the fighters, right? They're paid even less. UFC profits have skyrocketed. Almost $400 million in profits for the UFC in 2022. Other major sports in the US, their athletes take home about 50% of the revenue every single year. It took a long time in the NFL. It took a long time in Major League Baseball. It took a long time in the NHL and the NBA. Strikes, lockouts, labor stoppages. There's been nothing like that in MMA. And if the fighters don't like it, they can go to PFL, they can go to Bellator. Why do you think nobody has who the UFC hasn't wanted anymore? Look, Benson Henderson, Ryan Bader, guys like that, I love them. Musasi, all of them, they're great dudes, right? But the UFC didn't want them anymore. So fighters leaving the UFC like Francis did in the prime of their career, unprecedented. People think it's opening a new door. I think that door is going to be slammed shut once Francis Ngannou and everybody else realizes where he went, which is at least, again, 10 levels down, right? 10 levels down. 10 levels down. A company that had almost $400 million in profits this year, the UFC. And you know what? That's pretty cool. I think that when you think about the money they've made and you think about the way that they do business, should the fighters make more of a percentage of what the UFC brings in? Maybe. Does the UFC have to pay them that? No. If they did, they would. If they had to be in that position where they're backed into a corner and they have to pay the fighters, then they absolutely would. That's what pro sports are all about. Nobody in any sport on any level, nobody pays a player, a fighter, whoever, until they absolutely have to. Movie stars, rap stars. That's why none of these artists own their masters, because they sign shitty deals when they join the record label. That's the way these things work. And until enough fighters get together and say, no, we're not fighting for you, and the great fighters say we're leaving for the PFL or we're leaving for Bellator, you're never going to see this change. They don't change unless they have to. It's up to the fighters to form a union, and it took years, decades for all the other sports to do that. People forget how that actually went down. And one more thing about all this with the UFC and Francis Ngannou, just to bring it full circle back to Don Davis, I'm going to tell you one more thing about the PFL. I've said it's 10 levels down at least, and that's being very, very generous on my part because I love the sport, I love the fighters, I love everything about it, but I got to be real. I got to be real, man. I mean, having your single played on a college radio station versus Hot 97 in New York, if you're a rapper, it might be that big of a difference for Francis Ngannou right now, and he is not a big enough draw to make that up. They're going to be sorry they gave him this deal. They're going to be sorry they're paying him and his opponents that amount of money. I can almost guarantee that. Dana White is right, and Don Davis is absolutely delusional. Prove me wrong, Don. Show us the numbers. Let's see the projections. How are you going to do it? I don't see any possible way. Keeping it rolling on Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, May 23rd. But the news and notes, the hot topics, the hot takes, the whole thing that you need. You know the spiel by now. I say it every 5 seconds. You could be saying it with me, but why would we do that and waste the time that we need to get back to the headlines, which actually I just did for about maybe 10, maybe 12, maybe 15 seconds, and I'm doing it even more as I speak. But it's Greece. It's G-R-I-E-S. It's at Jim Greece. _ at Cageside Greece on social media. Hit me up, give me a follow in the digital world. Let's chop it up. And Khamzat Chimaev wants to chop up Kamaru Usman, claims the UFC has a fight for him in Abu Dhabi, and that would be in the fall. He's calling out the former welterweight champion. He expects to get the news shortly, with the UFC headed to Abu Dhabi this fall for its upcoming UFC 294 pay-per-view. The popular Chimaev would be a prime candidate, along with Islam Makhachev, to be part of the lineup. He emerged as a star when he first fought in the UFC at a pair of Fight Island events in 2020, when they were moving operations there during the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic. Chimaev's in Abu Dhabi training, says the plan is to fight Kamaru Usman on October 21st. That's his ideal matchup. Quote, UFC told us we have a fight in Abu Dhabi, so that's what I'm waiting for. He said this on his YouTube channel. I'm already here in Dubai, living here, training camp. Everything is good, so I've been in shape a long time ago. I've been in Thailand training camp. I've been here training camp. I've been in Sweden training, so just waiting for the opponent and the contract, so we'll see what's going to happen. Usman wants to fight. I'll make his last fight. He wants money. He knows where the money is. Everybody knows the money. Now I'm going to fight this guy in Abu Dhabi and smash his face, finish him. Then they have to give me that title shot. Usman's on that first losing streak of his career. 2 in a row title fights against Leon Edwards, the current champion. Kamaru's been quiet about his potential career plans. Chimaev, meanwhile, hasn't fought since Kevin Holland was obliterated by him at UFC 279 when he was supposed to fight Nate Diaz. Don't forget that. So he doesn't expect to have any shortage of potential opponents when the UFC comes back. He says, quote, I'm the biggest name without the belt, so when you fight with me, it's more money, more fans. When I fight, everyone is waiting for my fights. When I fought with Gilbert, we weren't the main event. Everyone was waiting for us. Even Cristiano Ronaldo, a famous guy, legend from football. Not football, football. A lot of guys are asking me, when am I going to fight? When I smash somebody. This is the fight business. Everybody has to make money. If you don't sell tickets, you don't make money. He wants his first title shot, welterweight, middleweight. He may want both. And he's been asked again, who do you want to fight? Quote, I want to say Usman. I'm ready. Sign the contract. Let's fight. Let's make money. You want the money? You want the money fight? Let's go. I'm going to squeeze your head off. Weight class, it doesn't matter. Let's go. Let's fight. The weight class is if you feel the best, you don't need to speak about weight class. I feel the best. For me, it doesn't matter. I cut on fight night to 170 or 185. All weight classes, I'm the king. Next up, Dana White talking about the BMF 2 battle, Poirier versus Gaethje 2. One of the best fights I've ever seen in person was right next to the cage for that one in Glendale, Arizona in April of 2018. Well, the second one will be in Salt Lake City at UFC 291 on July 29th. Dana was asked why the BMF title was put on the line in this fight, and everybody's saying Masvidal's the BMF. No. Well, Masvidal hasn't won in a long time, so how would he still have the BMF belt? It's not a real belt. You don't put it on the line like a real belt. It was just a silly gimmick and marketing scheme, and everybody treats it like it's actually a championship belt in a weight class. But I love Henry Cejudo's suggestion that you bring Uncle Iron Mike Tyson in to put the BMF around the waist of Dustin Poirier or Justin Gaethje in Utah on July 29th. Dana White was asked why the BMF belt was on the line. He said, quote, "It was war room shit. Every Tuesday we're in there, and as we were putting that card together for Utah, we thought that Poirier and Gaethje is such an awesome fight. Masvidal retired, so we put the BMF title on the line." And that's interesting when you think about it, because it's 2019, Masvidal, Diaz, The Rock. It was a great gimmick and a great thing for the sport. So I'm loving that Gaethje and Poirier too. And look, if there is a BMF in the UFC, it is either Gaethje or Poirier. I mean, either one of those guys is a great choice. There's plenty of them. They're all BMFs, but the BMFs of the BMFs, Poirier and Gaethje, two guys who could easily wear that belt and sit on that throne. Meanwhile, Sean O'Malley knows he's a BMF. Aljamain Sterling does too. But Sugar, thinking the Funkmaster has more than enough time to prepare for their August title fight, it's 3 months away. He just fought in May, right? So why would he not? I don't understand why Aljo would say that's not enough time. And, you know, I mean, he narrowly beat Henry Cejudo. He's got to fight Sean O'Malley. I mean, you got to keep these belts going. You got to keep these divisions going. The UFC is making him fight in August. He requested a September date, noted several injuries from his three fights over the past 13 months, and the UFC wasn't having it, right? So now Aljo came back and went all in on Dana White. You know, stop ripping my name and put some respect on it. And if you want me to be a partner with you, let's start acting like it. And of course, I'm literally paraphrasing everything here, but that was the gist of the message for Dana. And you know what I'm saying? O'Malley showing a little bit of sympathy after hearing those injuries that he's been dealing with. But in the end, he thinks there's more than enough time for Aljo to get ready for this fight. Sugar saying, quote, "I mean, you did just fight during the Timbo Sugar Show podcast, but look at Izzy. That mother effer just fought four times in 12 months. You have 4 months. It's 4 months from a fight. Take 2 months off, heal up, and then train hard for 2 months. It ain't effing science, or is it? Math plus two. It's called discipline." Sugar said it isn't about what he or Sterling wants, but what UFC wants. When Sterling tried to turn the tables on O'Malley by saying on Twitter that the two fight in July, O'Malley just shook his head in confusion, saying, quote, "He acts like he calls the shots. I'm listening to the UFC. I'm not acting like I call the shot. Dana said August, so I said August. It's not like I told Dana, hey, effing run in August. I'm the man. I run this shit. I said, hey, Uncle Dana." I didn't call him Daddy Dana, like he says. I said, "Uncle Dana, when you want me to beat up Aljo," and it happened to be in August. And you know what? So Aljo responded on Twitter, "Let's run it July 8th and see if you really built like that." And he said, "I ain't. See you August 19th. There's so much pressure on Sterling to sign the contract and accept the O'Malley fight. They might even do an interim title fight with Merab Dvalishvili. I don't know. But is maybe Cejudo a replacement opponent for O'Malley for an interim belt? I mean, that would be the thing besides Merab, and Merab's Aljo's teammate. So if Henry Cejudo gets in that position again and wins the belt, the interim belt, with a victory over O'Malley and then gets a rematch over Aljo, the question would be, would you rather face O'Malley or would you rather face Triple C Henry Cejudo, or take the chance that you could? It's an interesting situation and a dilemma nonetheless, but man, I'll tell you what, Aljo and Sugar Sean's going to be a great fight either way. So that would mean Merab Dvalishvili would have to wait. He's accepted Cejudo's call out, and Henry wants to fight him, but he's saying that Henry has to wait. But he's given us a little bit of a timeline now. He said he was injured before his last fight, punched somebody in the gym, but he still fought Jan, even though he broke some bones, had some surgery, did it last Tuesday, recovering, be able to punch in 3 months, be able to train in 6 weeks, but punch, I need 3 months to punch. No, I won't be able to fight because I need to train again. I need to get ready. I don't think I'll be ready for August, but maybe we'll see another time, for sure fall or late 2023. Again, none of that's going to matter if Cejudo were to step in and face O'Malley. for the interim championship, and that would put Merab next up if Triple C or Sugar Sean were to win, because Corey Sandhagen's been rumored to fight other people as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Will it be O'Malley and Aljo in August? Will it be Cejudo and O'Malley in August, with Aljo awaiting the winner as the champ, waiting for the interim champ? And you know, with the way Dana's been talking and the way Aljo shot back at him, this is a division that is most likely to have an interim champ as soon as the champion does not defend his belt. Wrapping it up on Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, May 23rd. The news, the notes, the hot topics, and the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room. Talking about the sport we know and love, mixed martial arts, mostly all UFC, because the other ones are 10 levels down, Don Davis, at least minimum 10 levels down. You could buy Bellator, you could buy every promotion in America, regional, local, you could put them all together, line them all up, and stick up straight up. No, I'm kidding. That's The Rock. But what I'm going to say is you could do all that and you still would not be anywhere near the UFC. And that is what it is. As we roll on with Full Press MMA, I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _, at Cageside Grease on social media. And Dana White's been all over these headlines today. The UFC boss reacting to Mackenzie Dern's call out of Thug Rose Nama Yunus, the former strawweight champ, after her UFC Fight Night 224 win over Angela Hill at the Apex on Saturday. Dana was very impressed with the job Mackenzie Dern did, landing a career high in significant strikes, taking her down, trying for submission the whole time, knocking her down with a punch, beating her up on the ground, swelling her eye closed, lumping up her face. Well, White was asked about Mackenzie Dern's call out of Rose Namajunas after the win over Angela Hill, saying, quote, "I don't know, but that's a fun fight too. Mackenzie's in a really good position after tonight's performance. She's never looked meaner than she looked tonight. That's a fact. She came out on a mission, man. She looked like she was in great shape. She fought hard for 5 rounds. Her stand-up was on point. She hurt Angela Hill several times with her stand-up and was all over her on the ground. Other than pulling off a knockout or a sub, she couldn't have had a better performance than tonight. So I think anything is possible for her." It was the 8th win of Mackenzie Dern's UFC career. And Thug Rose, meanwhile, 11-5, 9-4 in the UFC, dropped the strawweight title in her previous outing, and she was really criticized for that effort that she put out at UFC 274 against Carla Esparza. And Namajunas has only done a grappling matchup against Jillian Robertson at Fury Pro Grappling in December. She's been quiet and does not have a fight scheduled. Meanwhile, Mackenzie Dern talking about what made her that mean and nasty with the striking game in that fight, trying for the subs. I mean, working with Jason Perillo over the years, right? But what an entertaining fight she put on against Angela Hill. She's a jiu-jitsu specialist. She had lost to Marina Rodriguez and Yan Xianan. Those setbacks were not good for her, but man, she came out and looked really good against Angela Hill. She talked about chaos being a big factor in that and really just talked about the chaos in her life, saying, quote, "I think the biggest improvement was because of everything that was going on. Sometimes you're doing the same thing. I wasn't expecting to go through so much with this camp, but because of that, I kind of had to step back and find a different way of getting my camp through and getting to this fight. Because of that, we had more of a strategic look at it. Okay, what's the thing that I'm missing? We were more strategic. Okay, when I'm on the cage, I can win the round like that. Each round, just win it. If you win each round, you win the fight, then the submissions knock out. All of that is a consequence. These are things I've been hearing for a couple of years, but like I said, sometimes when everything's all organized in your life, you don't notice these things. The whole chaos really brought out this focus of me wanting to win, what I need to do to win, and then I realized the strategy and the focus to stick to fight IQ. And her personal life has been up and down. She's had some issues there, but Mackenzie Dern has never looked better in the octagon. And sometimes you just need those things going on around you to make you focus on the thing that's in front of you. I've been through it myself. I know maybe you have too, right? Where you've got so much noise around you, so many things happening in your life to where you're just like, man, which end is up? What am I doing in your personal life? Where you really focus on your job and you just put all that attention on work. And it looked like Mackenzie Dern did just that based on her performance against Angela Hill over the weekend. The best of her career, one of the best we've seen in a while in the octagon. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more. Full Press MMA on your Tuesday, May 23rd. Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _, at Cageside Grease on social media. The news, the notes, the hot topics, all the hot takes that you need to be the smartest fan in the room when you're talking about the sport we know and love, UFC. I mean, sorry, MMA, mixed martial arts, to joke about Don Davis in the 10 levels at least below when he's talking about comparing the UFC and the PFL to to Netflix and Blockbuster. Keep telling yourself that, Don. I admire the entrepreneurial spirit. I love the fire. But again, he has to be that way. But it's for me and people like me to be the realist, to let you know what's real and what's not. Because let's face it, you never know what to believe and what not to believe. But it's a lot of fun anyway talking about it. Remember, no fights this week, so no fight stack when we give you the fight previews and odds breakdowns of every main card fight on every UFC fight card, and our end of the week special after weigh-ins to tell you where the lines have moved and what the props are doing and all those things on the fight stack. So that will pick back up next week. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Full Press MMA from the shores of New England. I'm back home with my family. It's my son's 21st birthday this week, and we are celebrating, and I'm pumped for that. I'll be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, fight fans, thank you so much. I love you. We do this for you. There would be no us without you. Keep your game tight and your mind right, baby. I'm out.